Following is an unrehearsed interview with Mr. Ed George of Bardwell, Carlisle County, Kentucky. The interview was conducted by John Marshall for the Kentucky Oral History Commission in Mr. George's home in Bardwell, Kentucky, on July 24, 1978, at approximately 1 p.m.
Well, you told me that you were born in 1900.
That's 1890.
Yes, sir. And where were you born? About a mile out of town?
A mile out of town.
On which direction would that be now? Is there a highway heading there?
East, no, there wasn't no highways then.
No.
The way they used to have roads then, there wasn't no corners for the roads either then. Now the roads, when the roads, horse and buggy, horse and wagon, they wasn't a buggy as much. Where these roads had laid these trees, that was a road. Anybody going where it's just to see that, keep that road where the tree was glazed.
So you just chop off the branches?
No, just glaze the tree, cut the bark down.
I see.
You see on each side.
Uh-huh.
This be a tree glazed, this be a glazed. Just go down them glaze them trees.
Yeah.
And there wasn't no corner post lines just like that.
Yeah.
They were the line trees. It's like three notches in a tree. That was line tree.
Uh-huh.
There wasn't nobody ever, wasn't no roads that went to no farms. They'd go around these farms, go around the lines, these people's lines, though. That's the reason all the roads were so crooked back in the day.
Because they avoided everybody's farm.
Yeah, they wouldn't go through the farm, go around to where the people's lines were, they'd go around the edge of the...
Yeah, and you established where your line was by putting three notches in the
tree.
Three,
that was line tree.
Uh-huh. And that showed you that that was somebody's property there.
Yes, that was line. That was a line between you and someone else.
Uh-huh, I see. Yeah.
Well, the road was glazed, that's where they went to travel the road. You see where they glazed on them trees, that was the road part.
What was the, when are you talking about? What time are we talking about now?
That was about 100 years ago.
About 100 years ago.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. So when you were growing up, there were roads, is that right?
When I was growing up, it wasn't that way, the roads were that way, but when I was going up, the roads that way, but the road wasn't glazed then, they had the road travel when I was growing up.
Uh-huh.
They had roads where they traveled up to know the mm-hmm. good many people there.
Was it when you can first remember roads, had they put some sort of surface on them, or was it just the dirt?
No, just dirt. Wasn't nothing on them.
Nothing on them.
That's right.
Can you remember when they first started putting something on a road?
Oh, yeah.
When was that? Do you have any idea about when that was?
Well, in the first, I helped cut down the first hill, the first road was built here. It was a county road, what's called a state aid road. Out here a mile of town where you turn, go to Melbourne.
Uh-huh.
You go out to the high school. You know where the
yeah.
road, you know that corner, that house on the corner sits there and goes to high school?
Yeah.
Well, I have to help build that road from there to the high school up there. That other side of the high school out there, there's crossroads.
Mm-hmm.
That's 6 miles. We cut the hills down with horses then. And that was the first road that was built. I mean, the first cut down the hills where they could grade it.
Yeah. So it was graded.
That's 1917.
And that just went 6 miles, is that right?
Yes, sir.
And there was the idea was to make the road to the high school easier to travel, is that right?
Well, there wasn't no high school out there then.
What was there?
They just, what's called, what went to Melbourne, just cut out that road, you know.
Yeah.
That's it.
Well, you said that you used horses to cut down the dirt, so that...
The hills, would plow them up and take a team and on these hills
uh-huh.
and plow them up, you know.
Right.
Plow. And it had scrapers. You saw scrapers.
Yeah.
You take horses and scrape it up the top of the hill and pull the dirt down to lower the hill, cut the hills down.
Uh-huh. Where did you put the dirt?
Put it down the bottom of the hill.
Yeah, so you just scrape it off the top
yes,
and just shove it on down the bottom.
Way down where it's sort of more level.
Yeah. When was the first time you could remember them using gravel?
Well, the first gravel road was about gravel roads about 1925 here.
Oh, only, what's that, only 8 years after you built that first road out there? Eight years later, they started.
They built that road near the Ballard County line, what's called Winford over here, Mayfield Creek.
That was the gravel road?
That's the first gravel road was built.
Went to the Ballard County line?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Went from Carlisle to the Ballard County line. See, that Mayfield Creek's the line between Ballard and Carlisle. This used to be what's called a Jackson Purchase. Ballard County and Carlisle and Hickman and Ballard and Carlisle, Hickman and I don't know about the Fuller County enough, that was what's called the Purchase, Jackson Purchase. Carlisle used to be in Ballard County.
Yeah. And that broke off when, you know?
I believe it was 18. I believe it's 1896, somewhere along there.
When you're talking about the early road building, when was the first time you can remember seeing an automobile in Carlisle County?
It's about, at 19 and 4 or 5.
1904 or 5.
Yes, sir.
Was that locally owned?
No, yeah, that's what that Model T.
Did somebody who lived here own it?
Yes, sir.
Who was that? Do you remember?
Well, there's several bought them around here. Several bought them.
Can
they didn't buy them. A little later on, that several bought them. That, I don't know how many bought them out early.
You don't remember who had the first one then?
No. I think it, the first car I ever seen had a gear shift sitting here, gear shift on the right.
On the outside of the car?
On the right side. Had a chain drive. It was a big chain under the car. It had solid rubber wheels.
Solid rubber?
I mean solid rubber wheels.
Yeah.
Not the spokes. I mean the rubber was solid.
Yeah. No air, I'm just solid, yeah.
This big chain drive, but went big, like a thrash machine. He'd pull this in gear over here, get over here. You had head chain hit that boy, you'd give it 8 miles.
How fast would that car go, do you remember?
It'd go about 15 miles an hour.
Really? What did people think of those cars when they first came into this area?
Well, they didn't know what to think of them.
Were they, were people afraid of them or suspicious?
Yeah, they're afraid of them.
Were they?
Yes.
Do you know why? Because they were different, or?
Yes, it is.
They were afraid of them because they were different?
Yes, sir. Then there's, when they bought these, I several bought these Model Ts, they'd get out in big field right out driving.
Yeah.
Where they couldn't run over enough.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess
you
it's
go these hills, Model Ts and Chevrolets, you put down this lake and hill, I mean this hill down here for Berkeley, going
yeah.
down that lake.
Yeah.
They couldn't pull that hill, Model Ts and Model and Chevrolets. Get about halfway up, but see the run out of gas behind.
And it wouldn't go into the motor?
No, it wouldn't get pulled over the horses in.
Oh, I see.
Back up it, pull out of it, back up it.
Oh, yeah, I see. Yeah.
Back up it.
Yeah. Huh. And you don't remember who was some of the first people who owned automobiles?
Yeah, there? Dr. Moseman. First person I've seen a blacksmith on, his name was Kirchfield.
Did he live here in Bardwell?
Yeah, he lived here in Bardwell.
It seems strange.
He owned a blacksmith shop.
Was he a farrier as well as a blacksmith? Did he work on horses?
Yeah, he just shod horses.
He shod horses?
Yeah, put shoes on them.
And he also did iron work?
Oh, yeah. Sharpened platforms and welded things.
Yeah. And his name was Crutchfield?
Yes, sir.
And the other man was Dr. Moseby?
Yes, sir.
Is that right?
Yeah, but Dr. Moseby, the first two I remember having the car here.
Huh. How long was it before people switched over? I imagine this is pretty recent. Before people switched over so that you didn't see people coming into town and horses, you only saw cars coming into town.
They farmed the horses most up to about 1935.
35.
Yeah, 38. Of course, it's still farm horses in, but it's full of cars then. As far as
a lot of cars around here. Yeah.
I remember when I was a boy, Maltese. I'd see a Maltese coming. I'd get out the horses, train of these cars then.
Yeah.
I'd got out plenty of time to get out and take my horse out and buggy before the car got to me.
Yeah.
Dirt roads, you just had to see that where the wheels run them out to put you on the ruts.
Uh-huh.
You know, about that deep in dirt.
Yeah.
You couldn't get out of them.
Yeah.
So to be out the back, you slide out, you couldn't just run them ruts.
Yeah. And did the cars run in those ruts too?
Yeah.
Yeah. Guess they had to, didn't they?
Yeah, you couldn't do them. Dust, you couldn't. I've been the horse and buggies where you couldn't see the buggy and the horse behind you, be so dusty.
Yeah, I'll bet.
They used to have these robes put on you for dust.
Yeah.
They have summer lap robes, still thin, put over it in the buggy, girls and boys, keeping smudge dust off of them.
Yeah. And when it rained, I guess it was just muddy.
Oh, yeah, it's muddy. My goodness, yeah. You couldn't get over the hill of the cars when it was muddy.
Yeah. When the cars first came into this area, did people say that they were bad or evil, or did they say that that you shouldn't own a car because it wasn't a natural thing to do?
Well, some people said that, some people didn't.
But there were some people who said that
there's about a good many of them.
Yeah. Well, it was a new thing, wasn't it? It wasn't something that was easy to understand at the beginning because it was so different from what had happened, well, for years and years.
Now, the cars come in here before 1895. That's about the first car I ever saw.
1895 was the first car you ever saw?
No, I was 15 years old.
Oh, it'd be about 1905.
1905.
Yeah.
But there's cars in here before then because I saw an old man. His car come by one day, and he didn't know what it was, going to Melbourne. He lived 4 miles of Melbourne out there.
Yeah.
He's plowed in mules or a double shovel, you know what a double shovel is. But he knew it had stopped in Melbourne. He got to the end, he jumped by the mule and rode to Melbourne 4 miles. Somebody around that car looked at it, he couldn't hardly get to the car.
Is that right?
And what he didn't know what was that first ever seen.
And that was in about 1895, you said?
No,85.
Good night. That was before you were born.
Yeah, that's where I was born.
And this old man told you about that.
Yes, he's playing to him, man.
Yeah. Who was he? You remember his name?
His name was Brett. He's the old head now.
Yeah. Brett.
Brett, B-R-A-N-T.
B-R-A-N-T.
E-N-T.
E-N-T. That's Brent. Right. Yeah. I'll bet that was something. 1885.
Oh, yeah.
Good night. When did the automobile or the motor-powered vehicle, when did that begin to affect agriculture in this area?
You mean tractors?
Yeah, things like tractors and when they could pull
carts.
Well,
the tractor was about 19 and... Well, the tractors come in about 1935, along in there.
Oh, about when there were lots of cars in this area?
Yes, sir.
Uh-huh.
Oh, lots of cars.
Until about 1935, people did all their work with horses or mules.
Some of them had tractors, wasn't very many.
Yeah, yeah. You were brought up on a farm, Mr. George.
Yes, sir.
Was your farm, did you think your farm was a typical farm for this area?
Well, it kept the farm, but you couldn't make much on the farm then.
No. What? How many acres? Was your farm a family farm? Did you own the farm? Your father owned the farm?
No, sir. My father died when I was young. I had to quit school at 12 years old.
Uh-huh.
And go to work 5 cents a day.
Yeah?
Got my dinner. About 3.5 cents an hour.
You quit school when you were 12 to work for 50 cents a day?
Yes, sir.
What did you do for 50 cents a day?
Worked on the farm. On first job I ever had was down on the corner of this store, $10 a month.
Down where Webb's Grocery is now?
$10 a month.
What sort of store was that? Was it then?
A store, a little restaurant down the school, a little grocery store.
It was a grocery store when you worked there?
Yes, a little grocery store. And
sold other things too?
Yes, it's just canned goods, things like that. It wasn't very large.
Yeah.
Wasn't no large stores then.
No, and you were 12 years old when you started working there?
No, I was about 11 years old when I worked there, but I was going to school then.
Oh. Can you remember some prices on items when you were working there?
Sure.
What were some?
Well, you used to buy 3 pounds of coke for a quarter.
3 pounds of coffee for a quarter?
Yes, sir. I sold hog for 2.5 cents a pound.
Hogs for 2.5 cents a pound?
Yes, sir.
Good night.
I sold alfalfa hay. That was in the 30s over in that depression.
Oh. Mm. What about in that store? Can you remember how much, say, flour was or sugar was? Or?
We should get sugar, 10 pounds and 50 cents, I think.
Sugars.
Get a loaf of bread for a nickel.
What else did was
if you smoked in America, you could be a nickel sack. Some place by 4 cents.
Four it's or 5 cents?
Bull Durham and another part of the road you own.
Uh-huh, smoking tobacco.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Did they sell, like, shovels and...
Oh, yeah.
It was a general hardware store?
Hardware store they did then. The grocery store didn't handle that.
Oh, even back then, the grocery store just handled food?
Yeah.
Oh, I see.
They didn't have no shovels then.
Did they have barrels of things where you could...
Yeah, they'd come in barrels. Sugar and coffee both.
And you just...
Had scales. They had scales with a loop in them, you know.
Uh-huh.
Sort of a... You know where it trays, you know?
Yeah.
Well, you'd have a, if you owned a pound, you put this on a pound over here, this uh-huh. little weight over here.
Right.
Then it had a dipper, you know?
Yeah.
With a, you know, scoop in it.
Uh-huh.
Put it up here, and this here on the pound, weighs a pound, then take this off, put it in the paper sack.
Yeah. What was the name of that store when you were working there?
Watson.
Watson's.
Yes, sir.
It's called Watson's Grocery.
Yes, sir.
Hmm. Well, that must have been quite an experience for an 11-year-old. Did many 11-year-old boys work then?
No, not them.
No.
Take you black on the strawberries down here.
Yeah. But you were unfortunate in that your father had died and you had to work.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Well, then you went out to work on a farm. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
And who owned the farm?
My grandfather.
Uh-huh. And what was his name, Mr. George?
E.T. Riggs, R.I.W.G.S.
E.T. Riggs.
That's it.
And how long had he had the farm?
Well, he'd farmed all his life, I guess.
Out here just, where was the farm?
4 miles east of Bardwell.
4 miles east of Bardwell.
Yes, sir.
Oh, okay. I see. Well, back towards Melbourne or further north?
No, it's between a little bit farther north, Melbourne. A little bit farther north, Melbourne.
Uh-huh.
East out this way, Melbourne up.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's find out about your grandfather, okay? This is your mother's father, Mr. Riggs.
Yes,
do you have any idea when he came into this area?
No, I do not.
Uh-huh. As far as you know, her family was here just, well, for a long time.
Yes, sir.
Mm. And how big was his farm?
Well, he while I was living, before he died, he owned 2 or 3 farms. He'd sell out and buy another one.
Mm-hmm.
They run from 115 to 150 acres.
Uh-huh.
He was buying, he bought 115 acre farm, $1,750.
be hard to do that now, wouldn't it?
There's no man up there where I used to live. He didn't go there and made a wreck, R-A-D-D-I-C-K. He traded a mare and colt and a sound sick pig for 40 acres.
Is that right?
Yes.
Where was that? Was it good land?
Yeah, that's over on this side of Milburn.
Hmm. Was that common to trade goods for land?
Yeah, you trade for land.
Yeah.
One time there was a fellow down in Columbus, Kentucky, owned a store. He had a 150-acre farm, and his boats come up the river then.
Yeah.
He sold his farm and took it all in sugar.
Is that right?
Took it all in sugar. Of course, land wasn't about $5 or $6 an acre then.
Yeah. What was that man's name?
I don't know what his name was. Yeah. Now.
Was that during your lifetime?
No, that's before my life.
Before your time.
I remember hearing him talking about it.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Well, now, what did your grandfather raise on his farms?
He raised corn and wheat. Wasn't no soybeans. First soybeans come in the area, they put them in the rows, plant them in rows for hogs. Between the corn, they had the corn drill. You see, this drill's got this plate, you know, where they drop corn.
Uh-huh.
This plate there, where you drop a, this is corn plate, here's corn plate, but this bean plate be in the middle. I'd drop a bean in between the stalk of corn. Then you turn the hogs in there before the corn got ready to. Yeah, you know, shoat, you call them pig. You know what a shoat is, that's
yeah.
And they'd eat them soybeans while it's in a dough, you know, that pattern. And by that time, when they eat them up, corn would be ready.
They wouldn't eat the corn?
No, they'd eat them soybeans first.
Mm-hmm. When was that?
Oh, they come, it's about 1967.
Is that right? They were growing soybeans in this country then, but
yes.
just for feeding
yes.
pigs, huh? Oh.
There's one Jeff now, you've heard of Jeff Clover.
Yeah.
That first started here in about 19 and no, yeah, way late. About 19 and married in 17. That Jeff Clover started here about 1918 and come in the gullies. People didn't know what it was.
Yeah.
They thought it was going to ruin the farms. And it got to spreading in the fields and they got to cut it for hay.
Yeah.
You cut it when it was that high, this old time Jeff, you know, didn't have to sow it.
That was good, wasn't it? How'd that come in?
Don't know how it came in yet. Huh. It almost comes in the gullies and field and spread all over the country.
And the cattle liked that, I'll bet.
Yeah, the cattle liked, but it was slobber horses.
It was?
The horses eat just slobber at the mouth, you know.
Is that bad for them?
It's good for them to slobber.
Yeah.
So it made pine hay.
It's good for horses.
Oh, it's good for hay.
Yeah.
It didn't have too much strength in it.
No. How was the hay bundled up? It wasn't in bales, was it?
Oh, way back when you used to have to put hay in the barns, had hay forks.
Yeah. Now,
sold this hay fork, haven't you?
Yeah. When you were doing that.
There wasn't no hay forks then.
How did you put
hay? They had hay forks then. Of course, way back there, they didn't have no hay forks. They had hay forks when this Jeff first started here.
Yeah.
But you could always take it up with hay fork, thought it was so thin, that fork, you know, you push it down and it wouldn't. It's so thin, wasn't long enough to hold, you know.
Yeah.
See, this other hay is trying to put the fork down and take a whole load of it up and put it in the barn. Then trip a rope and let it fall the hay off.
When you were working on the farm, how did you bundle your hay up so you could store it?
Well, they put it in. If you ever don't get along fast, we put in shocks out in the fields.
Mm-hmm.
But you saw the wheat shocks.
Mm-hmm.
That's
yeah.
Where you used to do hay when you ought to put that fast and put in And when it commenced baling, they put in rakes out in the field. Long white rakes, you know, it'd be about, oh, just you put a long yoke, too long, wide yoke, long yoke, too.
Yeah.
Raised up and just bringed in all, it's just like a house, you know. And when sponges come in where the rain and get up here at the top and cap it off, she'd be going out over the rain and place soaked in and go down it.
You built a sort of a roof out of hay, didn't you?
Yes.
How did you, were some people better at making that roof on a...
Oh, yeah. Yes, sir.
Yeah. Could you do that pretty well?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. It was an art to it, I think. How did you learn to do it?
Well, just working and watching other people.
Just by practicing and by watching others.
Yes.
Yeah. And was it
like your wheat cut for the binders, you know.
Uh-huh.
You had to have what's called two cap bundles.
Cab bundles?
Cap, C-A-P.
Cap bundles, okay.
See the shock, because you saw this wheat at the field, you shocked, haven't you?
Yeah.
You shocked this wheat, and it put the heads together, you know.
Uh-huh.
You take two bundles, take your hand, next to, you see it's where the wheat is out here, you know.
Yeah.
Mash that down and put one bundle over this way, then put this other bundle crossways. That, for the rain, that...
Wash off instead
wash
of down.
Off the place going down the wheat.
Yeah. Yeah. So you keep most of your wheat dry.
Then you commence to put binders in.
Yeah. And that kept it dry.
No, thrashing with binders when it got dry. They have a thrashing machine.
Yeah.
Take a 8 wagons and be 4 pitchers, what's called pitchers. Go out to the field where they shock.
Mm-hmm.
He'd pitch the 2 wagons. And it's separated, that's what's pulled with the engine, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I guess you've done what you ever saw with them, not did you?
With an engine.
You ever see them thrash wheat with engines?
Yeah.
Well, that's separated, you know, that's where they go with the wheat.
Uh-huh.
Take 2 feeders, 1 to feed at a time, so you got tarred, that's a hard job.
Yeah.
And 2 binds, good as called. That's this wheat, you know, with string tied to that.
Oh, okay.
It's always over here, and the binds go over here. He cut these vine pieces, push down just this feeder, he'd feed through this hopper, this part of the feed. Then go out there, there'd be a mine, half bush of mine. That wheat would come out the half bush and then fill a whole sack, and then he'd pull the half bush in, then the sack tire, he'd tie the sack.
Yeah.
And used to be a separator mine, he'd tend to separate it. So sometimes it took 2 wheat in there, and saw it, shook it down.
Yeah.
He'd have to get it on the regular thing, done, shook it, keep separated grease, and be a main haul water for the engine. And that cook track, what's called cook tranny.
Say that again?
You used to have cook tranny, as it's called. You also like these mobile homes?
Yeah.
Have a door at one end, have a big window about that tall, you lay them down, you put them up on the side, you know, that hanging down at the bottom, and lay it down out this way, you know, all around on both sides, and you cook on the inside of this. Put the meals out there. That put them in deep.
Yeah, and that would run around on wheels, you'd roll that around on wheels.
Yes, that's what's called a cook shack.
Cook shack.
Fellas cook and be. I used to, when I was a kid, I remember, I wasn't about 11 years old then, I'd go to, I don't know what you call them, I'd help a cook. I'd peel potatoes, you know, and wash, had all 10 plates, wash the plates, and peel fires, and get up, such as that, you know.
Yeah.
I got 5 cents a day for that.
Were most of the people who worked on an operation like you've just been telling me about, were most of those people local people who were hired to work to get that crop in? Or were they neighbors who...
No, some people hire in. Our top hand got $13 a month. Well, they had $10 a month.
Mm-hmm.
And they wouldn't go there and work a month. They'd work till the crop was made in the fall. Then the farmer would pay them off all they owed him.
Were there any crops where all the neighbors got together and helped this man, and then when that crop was in, they went over and helped another neighbor's man?
No, they do that when the father got to thrash wheat that way.
Uh-huh.
The fellow that furnished wagon, you know, just because he planned thrash, we just had the wheat thrasher.
Yeah.
People that swap work, each other helped with the thrash wheat, go to his, and all of them thrash if him whole wheat.
Yeah, that's the only thing they did it with was wheat thrashing.
Yeah, well, they used to have way back when I was born, my grandfather had a cradle. He used cradle wheat.
Yeah.
Had a, you showed his bar size.
I've seen it, yeah.
You ever see a cradle?
Seen a picture of it.
Had four, about five of these long things on the side of it. But on this side here. But each cradle, it'd make one fork. And when you pull this down, the wheat would lay there.
It'd be on the bottom?
It'd be laid on the ground.
Oh.
Then this fellow behind, he'd come back and tie it with the wheat.
Okay, we were talking about farming. Somehow, I don't know how I got onto that. I started asking you questions about it, I guess. When did you first work in the field where there was mechanical means of pulling a machine rather than horses? Was that about 1935?
Oh, no, that's... That was the first combine I ever saw. It was 19 and... Them combines come in. They come, them combines come in about 1934.
33
or 4. When first car fire had come out in 1935.
Is that right?
Yes.
And they were self-propelled, weren't they?
They'd go to Wheatfield, they'd combine.
Uh-huh. You didn't have to have a horse working.
No, there. Just they'd combine this wheat, you know. Mm-hmm. We'd had a sack, you know, fill a sack up.
Yeah.
Had a sack where this wheat you want a sack. You had to tie the sacks on them combines.
How many men were working when there was a combine like that?
Well, there wasn't two. One drove a combine, one that tied the sacks.
When you were talking about before, we're talking about six or eight men working the same job, is that right?
You mean them trash machines?
Yeah.
Oh, there was eight wagons, and four pitchers is 12. Two by as good as 14, 2 feet is 16, half bush of mine 17, and mine hill sack 17, the sack tire is 18, and the water hole is 19, and separated mine is 20. There's 20 men.
Do you mean that just about, because when this is amazing, when there were 20 men working on this job?
Wheat thrashers. Took 20 men to run the wheat thrasher.
Uh-huh. And when that was mechanized, how many men did it take?
When they switched?
When they started using machinery instead of that sort of...
You mean combine?
Yeah.
It just took two men then to run these combines.
Mm.
One to drive a track and pull a combine, and the other fellow to tie the sacks.
Now that's doing the same job, is that right?
Yes, sir.
From 20 men?
Two men done the same job.
As 20.
The combine comes in, it took 20 to do it.
Can you... you witnessed all this happen, okay? I've only read about it.
Oh, yes,
this
sir.
Big change.
Oh, yes, I witnessed all that.
What happened to the other 18 men? What did they do?
Well, I don't know. They just... I treated that people ain't got to work today.
Yeah.
You see, it just... Now, I saw a fellow the other day is plowing beans. He plowed eight rows through. I mean, eight rows one time. That took 16 mules and eight men to do that work. What one man was doing.
Mm.
See, two mules for a cultivator, has eight cultivators take 16 mules. That one man was doing much of 16 mules and eight men.
Yeah.
One man. That's the reason people ain't out of work.
Yeah. Well, did people leave and go somewhere else to find work?
They went to these factories, these cities.
Yeah. Did you know a lot of people from here? Did you know people who left and to go to cities and work in factories?
Oh yeah, a lot of people, boys worked in factories. A lot of people quit farming and worked in factories.
Yeah.
In factories,
yeah.
I mean.
Uh-huh. When you were farming, or when you were working on your grandfather's farm, and then even when you were farming up to 1948, was there, did you, your grandfather, did you raise animals as well as crops?
Oh yeah.
What sort of animals did you raise?
Raised sheep and goats and colts. Have a mare. Mares have a mule colt and a horse colt. They had what's called jack on the mule, you know.
Yeah.
Breeders married a jack on the horse colt for feeding the horse.
Yeah.
And raised had sheep and goats, and well, they raised all the farm. They have guineas and turkeys and ducks and geese.
Yeah.
They used to have these geese to have a feather beds.
Yeah.
Take these geese and make pillows out of them. Uh-huh. Feather beds. That's full of mattresses. There wasn't no such thing as mattress in them days.
No, just a feather mattress, I guess.
Yes, feather beds, of course.
Feather beds.
That's straw beds. You put it every year when the thrash machine comes and have new straw, they dip that straw out, fill up the new straw bed with just new straw and put on top of the feather beds.
Uh-huh.
Don't put on the bottom feather.
What was that called?
That's called feather bed and straw bed.
Uh-huh, that's all, okay.
Yes, sir.
All right.
It used to, when a farmer saved $150 in a year, he'd make good money.
$150 a year?
Yes, if he cleared that much.
Hmm.
Now, way back there in them days, when he got through laying my corn, he'd come as clearing ground, what's called new ground. He'd clear all these and put the brush in brush piles and have logs, about 8 or 10 foot long. Next spring, he'd have what's called a log rolling. People would come in and help this farmer with carrying all these logs and stack them in piles for him to burn them. And he'd burn them logs up and burn these brush piles up. Then he'd have it, what's called a new ground.
Mm-hmm.
He'd put that in the stuff. He'd have to have a new ground plow. That new ground plow was different from these other plows.
Why? What was it about the new ground that you had to have a different plow?
Well, it hit them roots in there.
Uh-huh.
Tear these little plows all to pieces.
So you had to have a stronger plow.
I had to have a steel plow.
Right.
And a cutter on there.
Mm-hmm.
I plowed new ground via roots, you know, the plow dragged up right and slip off, come back, hit you, that can just break your leg.
Yeah, I'll bet.
Had to watch.
Was that when you were plowing with two mules or one?
Two mules. You'd have to have two slow mules too. You couldn't go fast in your ground.
Yeah.
Tear everything up.
How big an area would you try to plant on new ground after you'd cleared it? You wouldn't clear off a lot and then try to plant that, would you? How much would you?
Oh, we'd clear about, well, just on how much half you had.
Mm.
See, some farmers clear 3-4 acres. Some 2 or 3, and some farmers just maybe have 1 acre.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. How long did it take you to plow an acre of new ground with two slow mules?
It take you a day to plow an acre of new ground.
Day and acre of new ground.
Yeah, you plow these run out the fields, plow an acre with two mules in, you plow 2 acres and 2.5 acres.
A day.
But you had to go some plow 2.5 acres.
Yeah.
You had to go pretty good to plow 2 acres a day.
You could plow 2 acres a day with two mules.
Yes, sir.
In worn ground. In
yes, most time I'd plow about 1.5 acres a day with uh-huh. two mules.
But only about 1 acre in new ground.
Acres all. If you plow 1 acre in new ground, you're doing good.
Yeah.
In a day.
What, you said that you used to raise sheep. Well, there are no more sheep in this area now.
No, I don't know. The only sheep I know of now is this side of Paducah. I see them up there when they go on that railroad.
On that railroad, yeah.
On the left.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I don't know of any others either. Do you know?
Lambs used to bring now a yoke. It happened 1-3. Occasionally, yoke. No, that's a female
uh-huh.
sheep,
right?
Sometimes it'd have 3, hardly ever. All that time, most time it'd have 2. Some of them have 1. It'd have them in February, you know. In the worst of the winter, now you had to watch them. If a lamb ever get up and suck once, nurses. His mother was,
uh-huh.
got some hot milk in like a calf, there's all right. But see, when it's cold, it might get to freeze, it got numb, it freeze before they could.
Yeah.
It died.
Did you used to bring all the sheep in so they could lay them in the barn?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Would be school in the barn, you have to watch them too.
Yeah.
Most time when they'd watch them to have lamb, to take them lamb, had far places in, you know, way back there.
In the barn?
No, in the house.
Yeah.
They'd take these lamb and put them rest. Wrap a sack around them and take them up there in front of the fireplace, let them warm up good, then play back and let them nurse
mother.
Mother did all that.
Yeah, did I understand you correctly? You said that the female sheep used to have sometimes, triplets or twins?
Twins, too, yeah.
Usually twins?
Yeah. Most of them have twins. Hardly ever sheep have triplets one time, sometimes they have three.
Uh-huh, but often they'd have two.
There's more goats had three than sheep did.
Is that right?
Yes.
Do you know, was there a particular breed of sheep that was more popular through here, or did you worry about breeding back then?
Well, they had the same kind of sheep, but they'd want a good buck. Now, you take a cow, you can take a cow and a bull. You can take any kind of a scrub cow and breed to a good bull, get a good calf. But you take a full-blooded cow and breed it to an old Jersey bull or something like that, the bull, the calf wouldn't be very good.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have a good sire, or like a boar. A buck sheep, you know, mm-hmm. called buck. And a horse, stud horse, you know.
Yeah.
You don't tend to be good, because if the sire is good, they have good colts and things, good stuff. But if the sire is not good, well, they don't have so many.
Yeah. Do you know why people quit raising sheep in this area?
Well, it got cheap and raised up. Now, sheep, you couldn't hardly raise sheep with other stuff because them sheep would eat that grass down so thin that these cattle didn't like to feed up sheep.
Yeah.
Now, sheep will stay fat whereas cattle and horses will starve.
Yeah.
Well, the sheep likes a little bit of nip grass at the top of the ground. They nibble it off. That's what they like.
Yeah.
When I sold lambs, I got sold about 15, 16 cents a pound. Now lamb I know is about 60 cents a pound.
I don't know where you could get any lamb around here.
No, you couldn't get no lamb here.
About when did there cease to be sheep in this area? About what year?
When it comes decreasing?
Yeah.
Well, it's about 30 years ago.
Is that right?
They come as, you know, fall low. People put...
In the 40s?
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm.
People know it raised some. Some people, they still raise a good many, but see that... Come in falling down now, from 1940.
Mm-hmm. Hmm.
And the stuff got high. Now in depression, I give 1931, I give 1930. I give $2.5 bushel of corn to make a crop on it all, for feed the mule while he's making the crop.
Yeah.
And that fall corn was 60 cents a bushel. Went down $2.5, 6 cents.
Boy. That must have hurt. Didn't that hurt your farming, didn't it?
Oh yeah. Mm. And used to when the nano scale people sell corn, they'd have these flour barrels. Fill up a flour four flour barrels full for a bushel. I mean a barrel. I mean yeah, four flour barrels for
bushel.
Bushel, that's it.
Yeah. Hmm.
They wouldn't count, they didn't count how many bushel they could raise, count how many barrels they could you made. How many bushel they could.
Yeah.
If you made 10 barrels they could, 5 barrels in a bushel, that's the way it was. If you made 10 barrels an acre, that's good corn. That's 50 bushel.
Yeah. When you were, you started work on the farm, you said when you were about 12 on your grandfather's farm.
Yes, sir. 13.
13. And you, did you stay like on that same farm until 1948?
Oh, no. You know, I come and farm for myself when I married in 17.
1917.
I come and farm myself before then.
Did you?
I come and farm for myself about 1910. I come and farm myself.
And did you buy a place yourself then?
No, my grandmother had it. My grandfather had it. Of course, I rented from him.
Yeah.
We had I planted corn one time, 1911. 1911, I planted corn all day. The 26th day of April, it snowed all day.
26th of April.
Of course, it snowed and melted. I had to wear overcoats that cold.
Yeah.
The snow would melt when it hit the ground. I planted 10 acres of corn that day. 26th day of April. 25th day of April.
In 1911?
Yeah, 1911, 25th day of April. Because Odd Fellas, the day was always the 26th of April. That came on Sunday. And they had Odd Fellas day on Saturday. That's when the planted. It was 25th of April. I see people go by and buggy going to the head of Odd Fellas to do his orders. Odd Fellas used to have a, you know, I don't know what it's dinners thing in certain places. Wickett and sometimes Carlisle and Melbourne, such places as that, and Clinton.
Yeah. What did you do, like when you were a young man, you got married in 1917, you were a young man just at the beginning part of the 20th century, in 1910s and 1910, you would have been 20 years old.
Yes, sir.
All right. What did you have any sort of social life? Were there dances or barbecues or things like that?
Did have a few dances. Most of them was parties when I was a boy, of course, in buggy days.
Uh-huh.
They called them parties.
Was that the same as a play party?
That's play parties.
Uh-huh.
Where they'd say, you know, and black your boots and make them shine, goodbye light of Jane and his flushes. So like dancing, so like square dancing.
But you didn't have music?
No, just singing.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Was it because of religion that you weren't allowed to have music?
Now, some people would let them dance in the house.
Uh-huh.
So once in a while they'd have a dance. There wasn't too many people knew how to dance from all sin.
Yeah. Well, did you eventually go to dances?
Yeah, I never did go to dances. I went to dances. I never did dance in it.
Uh-huh. Were there...
Play parties most times.
Yeah.
Have a play party. So I'd have... See some people that get, let them have a party that night, you know.
Yeah.
Two or three boys get on the horses, go out on who's going to make it, what's going to make it up. Tell other boys and girls that'd be parties there that night, you know. Then give a time for boys, he'd go make a date with the girls, they'd party in the buggy.
Yeah.
I used to, way back in church days, for the buggies, the boys used to take the girls to church on the horses. They had side saddles.
Yeah.
You ought to see a girl ride a horse straddle.
No, I guess had not.
Had a side saddle.
Yeah.
And way back there, that's what's called a stile block.
Say it again.
Stile, S-T-Y-L-E, stile block.
Uh-huh.
It'd lead that horse up there. It'd be a step about a foot and a half high.
Yeah.
Another about a foot high. You could get up on this and lead your horse up there. And then you step over in the saddle. That's where the women got on the horse. Women couldn't get on the horse unless they had a
stile
block.
Yeah.
Because it had one stirrup, you know.
Well, with the, it was a pretty, it was common in rural areas in Kentucky and I guess Tennessee too, that people weren't allowed to dance. That was frowned on. That wasn't.
Oh, they was allowed to dance. But some people didn't believe in it.
Right, well, okay, that's what I'm saying, is there were quite a few people who didn't believe in dancing.
Oh, yeah, lots of people didn't. They didn't. Oh, then I suspect it was 80% of the people didn't believe in dancing.
Uh-huh. Well,
maybe 90.
Was that, now that was because of the religion. That was,
yeah, religion.
It had to do with religion.
Yes, sir.
Was it particular, was that mainly the Baptist belief?
Well, it's all churches.
All churches believe that you shouldn't dance. Okay. Was there music in the community? Were there people who played music?
Yeah, they played music. They played music for dancers. They play have a violin and a guitar.
But not many people danced.
No, that'd be enough. Though we might say five, six couples all to get all in the room.
You mean at most of the dances when you were a young man, if you went to dances but didn't dance. There would only be five or six couples dancing?
Yeah, that's about all they get in the room, you know.
Oh, I see.
See, they had these houses, just one room.
Uh-huh.
They had no dance halls and like that.
Oh, there weren't any large dances in this area?
No. They'd have barbecues. People would go there and stay all day for a barbecue, you know. Most people, some people buy the barbecue, and some people go in wagons. Take the dinners with them, you know.
Now, when you're talking about a barbecue, do you mean that somebody went out and actually dug a pit and cooked?
they'd cook, have a barbecue, and all the farmers together down there. Some of them make, when election time, some of them running for election, you know, offices. They have lots of barbecues then. These people, candidates would get up and make speeches.
Yeah.
You know.
Did you ever go to any of those?
Oh, yeah. I looked at lots of them after that, them barbecues.
Now, were the barbecues, was that, are we talking about some man or a couple of men going out and digging a pit and actually cooking over coals?
Yeah, cook them sheep for the next morning, next day.
They'd cook it all night.
Yeah.
So it the next morning when the man was going to make his speech.
He'd make a speech at dinner.
And the barbecue would be ready.
They'd come there, people meet that morning and talk and shake hands and talk. And they have dinner, then after dinner, the one running for offices would make speeches, you know.
Mm-hmm. When do you first remember people cooking? By digging a pit in the ground and putting coals in there and putting the sheep or whatever on top of that. Can you always remember somebody doing that, or can you remember when it was a new thing?
Oh, it wasn't done when I was a boy. They cooked on stoves back then, but they had, when I was a boy, they had barbecues. Yeah, when I was up 12, 13 years old, they was having barbecues. But all that time was that. Ice cream suppers and strawberry suppers.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. She'd have ice cream supper, boys and take the girls, and a lot of men and women go there. She'd have ice cream out in the yard and strawberry suppers. They'd have a strawberry supper, go there, and they'd give so much for a dish of strawberries and ice cream.
Yeah. Were the barbecues, were they mostly just for the men?
Oh, that's the men by the barbecue, you know, for the women tour.
The women would be there too.
Oh yeah, maybe women, some women though, maybe wouldn't, husband would be dead, you know, they'd buy a barbecue maybe, but most women bought the barbecue for the family.
When you went, say I was going to go to a political speech where there was going to be a barbecue, what day would it be held?
Well, most time on Saturdays.
On Saturday.
Now some of these people run for office, they'd buy a whole sheep and put it out there and just for people to eat.
Uh-huh.
See,
would they?
He'd do that to get votes, you know.
Sure.
Of course, all other people would go out and eat for it, wouldn't vote for it.
Right. Would they pay the men to do the barbecuing, to do the actual cooking?
Oh, no, the people that do the cooking is have and sell the pork.
They'd sell it.
Mutton. There's most of sheep then.
Yeah.
They didn't barbecue many hogs back then. Most of sheep.
Why was that, do you know?
Well, that people like the mutton the best.
They like mutton best. Can you remember, like you said that you can first remember people barbecuing when you were about 12 or 13, is that right?
Yeah.
Do you know why people started cooking that way at that time?
Well, they cook on Saturday, they sell people come buy the meat.
Yeah, but like, why didn't they do it 5 years beforehand? Why didn't they do it before?
I don't know.
I just wondered if something happened, or
maybe there's no, maybe it just wasn't started.
Yeah, it just wasn't started.
See, the people used to cook these big kettles. They'd barbecue something out, want to cook them a whole lot of meat, just put it in one of these big iron kettles in the yard and cook it in there.
Uh-huh. Then they got the idea of cooking it over these coals.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Well, now, can you remember the names of some people who are pretty good barbecue men?
Oh, yeah, way back in them days?
Yeah. You remember any of them?
I don't remember too many when I was boys.
Okay, what about later on at more modern times?
Oh, well, sure, the last 25 or 30 years, barbecue everywhere, though.
There's barbecue everywhere?
Yeah. There's a place between you and Ogden where the barbecue, place in Ogden, place between Ogden and Clinton, and two places between you and Columbus where the barbecue.
Is that right?
Yes.
Where is that between here and Columbus?
Right to the side of Berkeley, about halfway. Then
Is it a store or just somebody's house?
Somebody's house.
You know the man's name?
There's colored. Well, the barbecue is Columbus.
Uh-huh.
He's a preacher. He preaches up here at Bardo.
Yeah?
He's been preached up here ever since 1920.
Is that right?
been preaching at Barton. He's real old now, but he's still barbecues.
Yeah. Who do you think does cooks good barbecue around here?
Well, the best barbecues are people's had more experience.
Uh-huh.
Now, this colored man down here at Ogden cook barbecues. He used to be over there between Ogden and Clinton.
Uh-huh.
But he killed his wife and got in trouble, you know, and he's barbecuing over there. He's barbecuing for a white man, you know.
In Arlington?
Yeah. Then this nigger Columbus, colored fella, they call him. But he's barbecued, he's a good one.
Is he?
And this fella out here, too.
North of Bardwell?
Yes, sir.
Between here and Wycliffe?
Yeah, his name's Draper, but about a mile of town.
Uh-huh. Is he a black man or a white man?
He's a white man. Then he got a barbecue pit away on between the, on 121 going to Wycliffe, you know.
Uh-huh.
I don't know whether you ever been by it or not.
Yeah, Joe Summers used to own it.
Summers used to own it, yeah.
Yeah.
It's been changed hand twice since Summers. Gil bought it. Now Gil sold it out to someone else now.
Yeah. Well, if you wanted to go get some good barbecue and you could just go anywhere you wanted to, whose would you buy?
Well, I'd buy from these people that had experience of been cooking longest.
At Columbus or at?
Columbus or Arlington.
Arlington.
Yes, sir.
Is there, do you think that black people have always been able to barbecue better than white people?
No, but more black people barbecues than white people. Well, I don't know why it is.
I don't know why either. Okay. Let me see. What about we talk about, let's see, we talked about food and agriculture. When, do you know anything about the first settlers in Carlisle County? Do you think about the history of Carlisle County?
No, I got a history book.
But you don't know anything from what you've...
Oh, I know a lot of... At least, but I know a whole lot of old people that's been calling them poor. I'd name every old person used to live between Melbourne and Bardwell.
Is that right?
I'd name every old person used to live between Cunningham and Bardwell.
Yeah.
They're all gone. I'd tell every man that used to live on a farm.
Yeah. Was there anybody down here ever make any moonshine?
Oh, gee whiz, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Was that, it was common?
Yeah, it's called white beer. Used to make down on Cane Island.
Yeah.
Down these river bottoms, they call it.
Was it, did the community think that was a terrible thing, or they think it was, well?
Yeah, they thought it was a terrible thing. That fortune made ketchup.
Yeah.
You could go steal them by it, probably, if you knew them, but if you didn't know a fella, he would better not go around and steal some of them, but kill you.
Do you know what the price was for that, if you wanted to go buy some?
It'd go down to $1.50 a gallon when the Depression, 1930.
Is that right?
You could buy what they call a white butte.
Yeah.
You could buy a gallon of white butte for $1.50.
Did you have to water it down to drink it?
No.
You just drink it straight.
Well, we could get some of them made 90 proof, some of them 100. That 100 proof was pretty hot.
Yeah. Was it just corn made out of corn?
Made out of corn.
Yeah. And do you know when that stopped, if it has? Do you know if there's anybody who still makes that around here? I don't want you to tell me who it is, but I just wonder if you know.
Oh, no, I don't know. Last fellow I remember making down here, the fellow named the Journey. Over there, where this Fort Jefferson, where that paper mill is.
Yeah.
Then the fellow named Brown, now in Columbus, made it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
He sold it for $5 a gallon.
Oh, that's expensive.
Yeah.
Yeah. $5 a gallon.
Yeah.
Was that more recently? That's been since the Depression, has it?
No, $2.50 a gallon.
Oh.
$2. You said $2.50 a gallon. Then it got up to now. Here a few years ago, of course, I don't know. I just put you in know it too. But I know the fellas drank. These people would come in here from Golden Pond and bring it down here and set it. Certain fellas don't bring it. They sell them 5 gallons at a time.
Yeah.
They used to bootleg quickly through here, too. These patrolmen would watch them, catch them sometime.
Yeah. When you were a city judge, did you ever have any cases of anybody bootlegging come before you?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I had two cases.
Three cases. Really?
three cases.
Was that from people making the whiskey or from people selling it?
Bootleg.
Did you ever have any cases of people making it?
No.
When do you think the last time anybody made any around here was? About what year?
Oh, there ain't been no whiskey made. Because, of course, if you can, in a little town like this, you can hear everything. Anything starts, you can hear it.
Yeah.
As you get out, it's been, it's been a good while.
What? The 40s or 50s? Or?
Yes. No, it's been 1930.
30s, yeah.
See, this Cade Island used to call it, all these woods, all this wooded area is cleared.
Yeah. Once they did that, then they couldn't make whiskey there, huh? The following is a continuation of an unrehearsed interview with Mr. Ed George of Bardwell, Carlisle County, Kentucky. The interview was conducted by John Marshall for the Kentucky Oral History Commission in Mr. George's home on July the 24th,
1978. When I was a boy, before the land was cleared, the old people used to take the hogs down the river bottoms. See, the bottom was covered with hickory trees and acorns. Them hogs would live in there all the winter and do good down there. To come out, you'd get them out in the spring, it'd be fat.
Yeah. And that's where the moonshiners used to make the whiskey too, was it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And people would turn the hogs loose in the bottoms.
Yeah, they used to have a different way to call them. And of course, you'd go down and feed them about once every 2 or 3 weeks, but didn't they get wild?
Yeah.
If you want to get them out in the spring, why, they'd be wild. And the way they knowed each other's hogs and mark of the hares.
Uh-huh.
Some of them have a crop off the left ear. My grandfather's mark was a crop off the left ear,
mm-hmm.
and the under bit in the right, mm-hmm. under bit. Some of them have a split in the ear, two splits in the left ear. That's their hogs.
Yeah.
Have different marks. Some of them have a hole there. Just take air and cut a hole there. You know that.
About what year did they used to just turn the hogs loose in the
that's
river?
That's when bottom? I was a kid. It's been about 1900.
Uh huh. Right about 1900.
Yeah.
Was there ever any problem with somebody stealing?
Oh yeah.
Was there?
Yeah, they'd steal hogs.
Local people would steal the hogs?
Yeah, most of them would, yeah.
Yeah.
It sometimes would steal corn, they'd catch them.
And what would happen to
them? Oh, they'd, I don't know, they'd bag, but sometimes they'd catch, I know, 2 or 3 caught them, they'd know they're stealing. Watch for them, they'd catch them at night, you know.
Yeah.
They wouldn't do nothing, just make it fill up a sack and take it home with them, tell them not to come back no more. He'd shed, he wouldn't come back no more.
Yeah.
There's one fella set a bear trap, you know, had bear trap?
Yeah.
Where I'd reach it up to corn?
Yeah.
You know, it used to have log cribs. Way back, there wasn't no lumber that had cribs out of logs.
Yeah.
I'd reach in that log crib and clock it past the doors, you know.
Uh-huh.
I'd reach in through the logs, you know. One fella got caught in the bear, caught him in the bear trap. They used to have bear traps at these bears around here.
What, you mean there were bears around here?
Yeah, you. Last bear hunt was on Cade Island. That's about 1910 or 1909. Last bears ever killed on the head of what's called Cade Island. That's all in woods then.
Yeah.
In Cane. Cane is all good up. People are carry the horses down there in the winter, leave the horses down there. They'd just stay in that cane, eat that cane, you know, them leaves off the cane?
Uh-huh.
Stay in that cane, stay warm. They'd have a bell on one horse. You'd put a bell on a horse, one horse, and all these other horses take up with that bell, mm-hmm. horse.
Yeah, they just leave them on the island.
All the winter, and that cane that keep them feeding them. And every horse, if you take a bell, put on one horse, every other horse, every horse would take up for that bell horse and stay with it for that bell.
And I didn't know that there were, well, there haven't been any bears in here since 1910 then, huh?
Oh,
When did you told me before that your grandfather used to shoot deer down here, is that right?
Yeah.
What, no.
That's about Melbourne, that's before Melbourne was settled.
Uh-huh.
Well, no house in Melbourne, Kentucky. Then.
That's before 1900.
Oh, yeah, yes.
Long before. Did you ever see any deer down here?
Oh, yeah, deer in here now. I haven't seen no deer in here. Wasn't no deer in here until they come and turn them loose.
Yeah, but I know that's, that's what's interesting is your...
When I was a boy?
Yeah.
No, there wasn't no deer in here when I was a boy.
Your grandfather used to shoot deer, and they were just naturally here.
Oh, they
were. Then they weren't around for a long time, and then the government reintroduced them here.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah. They all got killed out, and the government, they come and turned loose.
Uh-huh.
There's lots of deers here now.
Yeah. Yeah. Are there any other wild animals around here?
Oh, there's the beavers and muskrats and a few otters. Mm-hmm. Good bit of beavers, they dam up these creeks. That's the reason these creeks overflows. They can't get to dynamite these creeks out sometimes. But most of that, I mean, the beavers will dam it up and so the whole water, you know, dam it up and the water spread over people's fields. They don't open that creek up.
Now, you were, you've been close to Bardwell most of your life.
Yes, sir.
Why is Bardwell here? It's not on the river. How did it get established?
Well, it established here with the Turk brothers come here. Two brothers built a little store there. I understand they started, the capital stock was $900, capital.
Hmm.
When they put in their brothers, put in first, then they divided.
Now, when was that?
Oh, that is 1890, that's about 1888, 18, oh, in there. I wouldn't say sure about 1888.
You mean that was just a couple years before you were born?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought Bardwell had been here longer than that.
Oh, that Bardwell had been here longer than that. I mean, that they were the first to come here.
Oh, the Turk brothers were the first
that's
to come here?
First time I remember in 1 year or in history.
Was in the 1880s?
Yes, sir. In the 1880s.
That's when the Turk brothers came here?
Yes, sir.
You mean there wasn't even a town here?
No, there used to be a well here. And there used to be a fellow named Bard. And I understand the name Bard Well, after that well and the old man called Bard. His name was Bard the Well.
Yeah.
I remember when there wasn't no... Well, not yet, but well. I remember when it wasn't. When I was a boy, they did have no stock law. Mules and horses and cattle and hogs, everything run over the town. It'd be about four trains a day come through here. They have two track walkers from the depot. You know, they'd walk a mile south of Bardwell and a mile north of Bardwell. They knew it when the train's about time to come through here to get try to drive all the cows and eggs off Bardwell, off the track.
Yeah.
So if the train come through slow where it wouldn't kill none of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they had a sidewalk, it'd have one plank for a sidewalk, it'd be mud. About every 20 feet they'd have two planks where if me and boy, they'd get along into another plank where it would step over the mud when it landed in the dirt.
Yeah. When did that begin to improve? When did they start putting in wooden sidewalks?
Well, about 8 or 10. Had wood sidewalks then.
Is the railroad the reason that Bardwell sort of grew?
Yes.
Yeah.
They used to have, there used to be lots of beans shipped out here and spinach. It cut, and there used to be lots of fruit shipped out, strawberries. Mm-hmm. Also, the time wouldn't take, be an hour's time loading strawberries and spinach and beans on these railroad cars. Past the train, it'd have to be in these cars where there's cool air conditioner, air cool, I reckon, cool by air or something.
Yeah.
They used to ship them with carloads here. These beans, and beans in baskets, you know.
Yeah.
Yellow beans, long yellow beans.
Mm-hmm.
There's lots of strawberries raised here and lots of spinach. They used to ship all that by rail.
Mm-hmm. What was the, like Bardwell, I think, has a smaller population now than it used to. Is that right? At one stage it was larger than it is now?
Well, I don't remember that. It might have fell off a little about 15, 20 years ago. Except I think the last census took was about 1,200 and something.
Mm-hmm.
1,200.
Yeah.
Of course, there's been lots of comments since then. I don't know when the census took last time.
Yeah, well, see, I thought that back in the 1910, 1915, that the population was larger than it is now. I guess that's not right, huh?
No, I wouldn't think so.
Okay.
It kept going on then.
Yeah.
Filled up building here now.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen a time of horse and buggy days where we had six doctors here in this town. Now we haven't got a doctor at all.
Six doctors?
In this town, horse and buggy days.
And for how many people? How many people would have been in the town? Do you have any idea?
I don't expect 800 then.
And now you don't have any doctors for 1,200 people.
Not a doctor in town.
Where do you have to go for medical service?
Well, folks, there's a doctor come to Austin about every, I think, twice a week. Clinton's about the closest place to that Clinton Hospital. Most time we take them to Paducah.
Yeah. Well, that's a shame, isn't it?
Now, Dr. Becker was the last doctor here. I mean, this doctor come here since then, but he quit. Dr. Becker, not all he could do here. He died with a heart attack. His office was full every day out there.
Just that nobody wants to come, I guess, huh?
I don't know. He's just a good doctor. And
but I mean, nobody wants to take his place.
No. We have a doctor at we have a doctor in Wycliffe.
Oh.
A lot of people go to Dr. Hunt.
Uh-huh.
To Wycliffe.
Yeah. Well, when do you think the first doctor came into this area? Was there one here when you were born?
Oh, yeah. My grandmother's sister married a doctor.
Is that right?
Name was G.A. Thomas, George Thomas. He come here, he was here when I was born. Now my first boy was born 58 years ago. I lived on a farm. And the doctor come out there and delivered that boy for $10.
Really? 58 years ago?
No, at night, yeah, no, and a. Yeah, 58 years ago. Delivered that boy for $10.
Yeah?
He had to drive 4 miles.
Yeah? Wouldn't get that now, would you?
No.
Mm-mm. You've seen lots of changes take place during your lifetime, Mr. George.
Oh, yeah.
What do you think are the most important changes? And what do you think are the changes that are going to most affect people in this area?
Most affect when they brought tractors in.
Tractors?
That's coming farmers' tractors.
Yeah.
That's the biggest change ever been made, I remember here.
Uh-huh.
See, them tractors put so many people out of farming, that's raising people. Young people didn't stay. That's the reason we haven't got no population here, young people.
Yeah.
See, one tractor now cultivate. You can take a big tractor and cultivate 500 acres of ground. One of them large tractors.
Yeah.
But see, back in them days, it'd take, you know, tell how many boys, families raised the boys, on farms and mules to stay here. See, their old family stay here. But now when a boy grows up, they don't hear from them too. They've got to go off and get a job. He worked out at the Dena plant, and quite a few worked away at the paper mill. And some at that sawmill over there, Wickham.
Yeah. Do you think that eventually towns like Bardwell will just have no population?
No, I believe Bardwell will have population.
It'll be made up of people who work somewhere else?
Yes, it is. As people come in here from these towns, comes in here, I read the paper every once in a while, some fellow name, never heard of his name, but he comes in here, works. I used to know all the people from here in the county.
Yeah.
But now I don't know a third of the people. All these young people that grew up, I don't know them.
Yeah.
They know me, but I, about the only one out of the old people, they all gone.
Yeah. Do you think that,
I don't think it, see this new house, new building going up all the time here.
Yeah.
You know it's everywhere. It's always a nice home going up.
Uh-huh.
In 1921, I bought a house for $450 and two lots and a barn on it. And that house and lot and barn now would bring, I expect, $10,000. 1901, I bought it for $450.
Yeah, that's a big change in 50 years, isn't it? Well, 55 years.
In 1918, I bought two houses and two lots for $480. Box houses, they're good houses.
Mm-hmm.
Most houses way back there was box houses.
Yeah.
Used to have sawmills, people but had timber them days, you know. A carpenter tell them how many timber boards it take to put in the house, so he'd make a bill out of it, call it, though.
Yeah.
He'd saw his lumber, I'm sure his timber, take the mill and have that sawed that away, so many planks, different size, and those seals and things.
Yeah.
And the carpenter, you could, when I was a boy, you could take a, you could build your four-room box house for $150.
Is that right?
Yeah. Go cut the timber yourself.
Yeah.
They used saw it for $7 a thousand.
Oh, that's good. That's what it used to cost.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
They used to cut timber. They used to cut timber, just paid all the thousands to cut it.
Mm-hmm.
With a cross cut saw. That wasn't no one's chainsaw. That's one of these old cross cut saws.
Yeah. You're talking to me about architecture. I've never asked anybody this. I just wondered if you know, why did people decide to build two-story houses?
I don't know. I guess the reason is home to children, have to show our place for children to go.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess that's it, yeah.
Yes.
Never thought of that.
Now, way back, I used to build them log houses. They'd have one room on each end of the house, a big hall there. It'd be open, that hall would be open. I don't know why it's open. It'd be a stairway, and that hallway would go upstairs.
Uh-huh.
Have two rooms upstairs, kids sleep.
Was there a name for those houses?
No, just log houses.
You just called them log houses?
Yes, sir.
Uh-huh. Yeah, there aren't many of those left, are there?
No, they used to hew these logs. It wasn't no sawmills. They'd hew these logs, what's called, have a broad axe.
Yeah.
You saw these broad axes, great big wide axes.
Yeah.
My grandfather, he could take a log and hew that log out just as smooth as looked like it'd been sawed. And that'd be on top for a seat, you know.
Yeah.
And put the stubs, they used to have these stubs, I mean, a stub, you know, bore. Burn a hole in the log, put your stubs in it, and plane and sit on them smooth places.
Yeah. It would have taken.
Then way back there, there wasn't many churches here. I used to go to church at the schoolhouse in Arbor, what's called Arbor Meeting. At this time of year, a little later than this, for this time of year, it cut posts, porch in them, it cut trees, go trees and cut limbs with leaves all over them. Put them on top of that arbor so the dew and have plank seats in there, have what's called a track and meeting.
Like they do now under tents.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. But they were called arbor meetings.
Arbor meeting.
That sounds a lot better than a tent meeting to me. Yes,
and have a have lanterns hanging on them posts all around.
Mm-hmm. Coal oil?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The first lantern I saw It burned some, it had a, I don't know what you call it, had a tank out in the yard, filled in there. It had to put something in there. I wasn't what to put in that tank, you know. Turned on the ladder, have a little mantle, they call it, light that mantle with a match. And come that, I've got to fill that thing out in the yard, pull the stuff, have a pipe run into the house, you know.
Uh-huh.
Ladder lamps, they call them.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. When did electricity come into this area?
Oh, I don't know. I don't remember that. Well, I don't know the year it come in.
You remember when it... Well, you can remember when there wasn't any electricity, can't you?
Well, let me see. What electricity is... When I was 1910 and... I was about, wasn't electricity here in 1910.
Wasn't any here?
No.
Hmm.
I used to have mills, flour mills here, then used to have grist mills, call it. You'd take your corn, go out and have a grist mill, have it ground up into meal.
Mm-hmm. Do you know, Mr. George, do you know where your family came into this area from?
My family come from way up in Kentucky. I don't know what part of Kentucky.
But they're from a...
Yes, sir.
Northern part. And yes. You don't have any idea when they came in, huh?
No, I do not.
What about on your father's side? Do you know?
No, see, my father died when I was young. And my grandmother, and all my great uncle dead before I was born on my father's side.
Oh, I see.
My father's side all died young.
Hmm.
And my mother's side lived to be old.
Yeah.
My grandmother lived to be about, I think she was 91, and I'd aunt lived to be 96 on my mother's side.
Mm-hmm.
And here I'll be 88 in December.
Yeah. Now that's the Riggs side.
Riggs side,
that's yeah. Uh-huh. And as far as you know, they came from somewhere in northern Kentucky, but you
yes,
don't know
sir.
When?
Eastern Kentucky.
Eastern Kentucky?
Yes, sir.
Oh, okay. All right. I just wondered if you knew whether or not they came from Virginia or what?
I don't know. No, they come from Kentucky down here.
Yeah. Can you remember when there was a carding mill? Around here for wool carding?
Uh-uh.
Never remember a wool carding mill no, around sir. Here. Okay.
Now my mother had a loom where they made carpets, rag carpets.
Uh-huh.
My mother and my aunts used to make, they made lots of carpets for people. What's called weave them.
Uh-huh.
Out of rags.
What do you mean by rags?
Well, they'd take these rags and cut them up and put them on paddles. No, put them on balls. Hold a great big ball of a rag, you know, cut them in little strips.
Yeah.
Then they have this carpet warp, it'd come in rolls, and have it put on this loom. Thread that loom where the warp would come down where the loom was. I mean, where you sit.
Uh-huh.
But he'd put this, then this rug, these rags, you'd take them rags off and put them around a paddle. Put this paddle through that carpet, I mean through the, you used to call it carpet warp, you know, then.
Mm-hmm.
Put it through there, then slide to the other side, then you push on your foot, that'd clamp that back together. Then you slide it back and push on his foot, on his loom with your foot, that'd bring that loom back together, mash it back together.
Mm-hmm.
It's 25 yards in the carpet. In a room, going about a 12 by 12 room.
Made out of rags.
Made out of rags.
Never heard of that.
And a whole lot of people didn't know. You could see the crack down through the floor. You could look through the top of the way back to ice skate, you could look through the what's called a loft, see shinings that they lost. How's the leak you'd have to put tubs there out where it leaked so the shop would get up on the stop the leak then.
Yeah.
People had pretty rough times back in the days. Everything was fireplace too, you had to freeze to death by them.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking when, you know, I asked you why people built two-story houses. Well, to keep those houses warm, you'd have to have a fireplace in each room, wouldn't you?
Oh, you couldn't. You wouldn't have a fireplace in each room.
I know you wouldn't, but it seems like to keep it warm, you'd have to have.
Well, it wouldn't keep. It wouldn't be warm.
No, that's right.
You could go in there and get on them feather beds. You'd put 2 feather beds on one bed, you know.
Yeah.
And you get them feathers, they'd go down.
Yeah.
Boy, you'd put some quilts over you, you'd burn up, and no matter how cold it was, you'd stay warm.
That's why people...
In summertime, though, I've got out on the front porch with a quilt and out under the shade tree of Minion, I slept all night on the porch. Couldn't stay in the house, too hot.
Didn't the mosquitoes bother you then, though?
Oh, yeah. You'd have to have sometimes you'd have to burn rags there.
And that would keep them away?
Yeah. You'd burn rags, let them see them rags, just not burn them, just catch them fire and all that smoke.
Uh-huh.
That smoke would keep them away.
Yeah. I guess that's the reason a lot of people went to bed early when it was cold.
Oh, yeah.
I guess that's the reason people got in the habit of going to bed early and getting up early anyway, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. You'd be burning your back and be cold. You have to turn around your back to get your back warm and turn around.
Yeah. What was when you were growing up, when you were young, what would you consider an average sort of meal? Would you eat your big meal in the evening?
Well, they had big meals every meal then.
Is that right?
Of course, what we call it, have hominy. They'd make hominy out of corn, white corn, put in a big pot, make hominy that way.
Mm-hmm.
And the farmers always killed the hogs, always had them hogs, and they'd put the wheat, 25 bushels of flour meal. He'd go there and get so much flour on what he had, that last more than winter, so that last till the next wheat couldn't come.
Mm-hmm.
And they'd have all the hogs and potatoes, they'd heal them up in hills out in gardens. Turnips, heal turnips up, you know. And they'd kill a calf. You know, hang him up in the wintertime. And had plenty to eat back. It's one thing, it used to have plenty to eat.
What would you say would be an average meal? Suppose suppose back when you were, say, 16, 17, something like that, you came in from work and you sat down to your dinner table. What time would you be eating? What time of day?
Well, you always eat from 11:30 to 12 o'clock.
Okay, what about your supper then?
Supper.
Mm-hmm.
We eat supper about dark.
Just about dark.
Be dark time. Come in and get through feeding, milking. You have to milk the cows and get to feed your horses.
All right. What would you give me an example of an average meal that you might sit down to?
Well, the meal back then, they so like they are now. The vegetables out of the gardens.
Uh-huh.
Of course, had plenty of pork. They had most time in the morning, they have bacon and eggs. Ham and might hold out ham and egg and shoulders, them fresh shoulders, they're just about as good as ham when you kill off when they first killed.
Yeah.
See, you kill your hog, you know, then and hang them up. So you kill hog, first thing you put them out in a big box and salt it down.
Yeah.
Let it stay there about 4 weeks. Then you hang that meat up on what I call tobacco sticks in your smokehouse.
Mm-hmm.
Then build your fire in a kettle under this meat and smoke this meat. About 5 or 6 days, I smoked it about 5 days with hickory, and smoked it about a day or two with sassafras. That smoke could go in that meat, that'd give us good flavor.
Yeah. That was your whole hog hanging there?
No, just hams and shoulders.
I see.
Ham, shoulders, and middling.
Mm.
And hog joes, what's called a joes.
Yeah.
And they'd take them joes and cook them in turnip greens.
Yeah.
It'd be a good cook up in turnip greens.
Yeah, and you used to smoke them for 5 days.
Yeah.
How did you keep the fire going that long?
Well, I wouldn't yeah, far wouldn't be going. I just have coals. I'd put stuff that just where it wouldn't blaze. So at night now, I sort of, before we go to bed, I'd put that far out.
I see.
Get to blazing, get the meat too hot.
Yeah.
Next morning I'd start, and someone around the house, when you get to blaze a little bit, you go out there and put a few ashes on that blaze, and that'd make it go smoking.
How far was your kettle from your hams?
How far was which?
Was it, you know, you're burning your wood. How far was your wood?
Were from
your,
the meat?
Uh-huh.
About 6 foot.
6 foot.
Yeah.
And you didn't want any blaze, you just wanted the smoke.
Oh, you want no blaze, but the meat's too hot.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Antlers. Take $15 and make a crop.
Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Well, now, how would they do that?
Well, see, they have the chickens. Used to be peddlers come to your house. About 2 peddlers a week come by there. They'd take these eggs, and what they sell when they raise chickens, it's called flyers, you know.
Yeah.
They'd sell these flyer chickens, hens. Hens get too old, quit late, they'd sell them. They'd buy, see, there wasn't enough to buy then, those coffee and sugar.
Everything else you raised.
And such as that. See, you had your meat and all the other stuff.
Yeah.
And your bread. Had to have to buy coffee and sugar and a few things like that.
Well, now, when did the last of these peddlers come around? When did you stop seeing peddlers?
Oh, this peddler stopped a good while ago. Long, last peddler we had here was... Last peddler was here from my grandfather's sister. He stopped peddling about 19 and... Let me see... About 1930, 35.
Mm-hmm.
Used to have peddlers on every road, wouldn't you?
Did they have a regular route that they went
on?
Yeah,
every day, they have certain days come on that route.
Uh-huh. And what did they sell besides chickens?
Well, they'd sell coal oil. They'd have coal oil on the back of the wagon, have a tank, coal oil, and what they bought?
Yeah, well, they would buy things from you too, wouldn't they?
Oh, yeah, that's where they'd buy things from you.
And then they would sell you coal oil and chickens.
Yeah, coal oil and sell you, they had thread and needle and such as that thing.
Uh-huh. Did you ever have, did they repair things?
No.
You repaired everything at home yourself, didn't you?
Well, you'd take a blacksmith shop.
Oh, I see. What about small things, like, say you broke a handle off a pan, pot?
Well, you could, if you break a handle out of action, then you'd make your axe handle.
Uh-huh.
A hole handle, you'd make it, take your hickory,
and
move that down, shave it, have a hand. Oh, I forget what you call them now.
Well, the draw knife's one
drawing
thing.
Draw knife, have a draw knife, put that down and make handle.
Yeah. Do you remember any peddlers coming through this area selling baskets?
Baskets, yeah. They used to come through here, sell baskets and chairs. And
where were they from, do you know?
Well, there's some different parts. Some of them come from, used to be a man over here in Wickham made hoops. Now, you used to have hoops on these wagons where you don't have a wagon sheet over your wagon. You saw the covered wagon, call it?
Yeah.
They'd make hooks.
Yeah.
On wagon beds, it'd be two little things where these hoops would go. They'd bend them hooks over, put them on each side of this wagon bed, and put the wagon sheet over it, you know.
Uh-huh. And he made those hoops over in Wickliffe?
Yeah.
What was his name?
His name was... Oh, don't forget his name now. No, you can't call a name like you still forget.
Well, I shouldn't have asked you, otherwise you'd have remembered it.
I don't remember his name.
Well, these people who brought baskets by, would they trade the people on the farms around here some goods for the baskets, or would they just sell them for money?
They'd just sell them. They had places to weave these baskets. It weaved these baskets out of hickory.
Hickory.
Yes.
And you don't know whether they were from
Kentucky. No.
You don't know whether they were from Kentucky or Tennessee or what?
Well, they come in here from Well, this part down here, you know, I wouldn't know.
Uh-huh.
See, they might come. See, we right on the western end of Kentucky.
Yeah. Did they come by in like wagons pulled by horses that were just full of baskets?
No, they wouldn't do that then. They made bags. See, the people made bags way back then. They could make bags themselves. It hadn't been too many years, 3-4 years ago, they used to come by here, these swings, where they made them, you know, in baskets. People coming up from other places, Illinois, somewhere is where they made them.
Would come through here selling baskets?
Yeah. I got a basket back there now.
Do you?
We've woven.
And do you know where you got it?
No, my wife got it somewhere.
From one of these peddlers, these people
that came? I don't been so long, I don't know where she got it.
Uh-huh. Well,